Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to Aboriginal elders emerging. Former Detective Lex DeMann spent 5 years officially trying to bring Anne Hamilton Byrne to justice for abuses perpetrated against the dozens of children she brought under her care one way or another. In reality, though, this case has consumed Lex's life. The group founded by Anne, known as The Family, has been described variously over the years as a doomsday cult, a religious sect, a government-funded child trafficking ring, a real estate scam, a drug den, and a yoga school. And Anne herself proclaimed that she was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ.
This is Australian True Crime with Michelle Laurie and Emily Webb.
But when Lex received a text on Thursday morning reading simply, "The witch is dead," he knew exactly what it meant.
I was really happy that she was dead. And I thought, may she just rot.
Did you cry?
No, not at all. She wouldn't shed one tear for her.
I don't mean for her, but I know that when I saw you do a Q&A a year ago, and I saw the emotion when you started to talk about the children who are now adults, and there was a lot of emotion then.
Yeah, I went through an emotional rollercoaster yesterday. You know, when I initially heard the news, I was really happy that she was dead. And then I thought of the victims, the survivors, and how they were feeling. And, you know, I had an air of sadness about me because of that. And also for the police that had worked with me on the task force. It was a real rollercoaster ride of emotions. And the sadness that I felt was for the victims, not for her or any of the followers.
I was sort of shocked to read Lex DeMann worked for 5 years on this case, and I thought, oh, I think that's a bit of an underestimation, isn't it, of how much of your life has gone into this case?
Well, my life started in this case in December 1987 when I went to the school fire at Monbulk, and then for the next a year and a half, I couldn't get traction within the police department to put an investigation together. And finally, after I submitted a report in June of 1989, and I used the words allegations of LSD administration to children and allegations of the theft of children, the department really couldn't do anything but establish a task force. And that's when it started in December 1989. And, it's consumed my life for near on 5 years. I was there at the start with the initial team of six detectives, and at the end of it, I was here. Only one of the original detectives still on the case. So, it was a bit of a roller coaster ride.
But you're still so involved in the case, aren't you? I mean, you're still in touch with...
As late as this morning when I caught up with one of the survivors to talk about the impending civil action to try and recruit some money from the trust, from the funds that Anne had secreted, elsewhere. And I'll support the survivors now with that. And, I've got lifelong friendships and support that I have with a number of the survivors. Can't walk away from it.
Why is that? Why is this case so different for you?
It's not just me, but anyone with an air of decency, when you initially met survivors, what they've gone through, and I can't walk away from it. I need to be there to support those that wish to be supported, and I'll continue to do that. Personally, I know at the time of the investigation, there are a number of people worried about my health, my mental health, and the impact on me. And, I suppose it's just part of the job that I was in, and you just deal with it. At the end of the day, I can't walk away and not support those that wish to continue to receive some sort of support or advice at times. Or it's only the right thing to do, and that's what it is to me. It's to do the right thing.
Yeah, but I was shocked then as I was reading about your career, and then you went on to the CFA, and you've always stayed in a life of service. But I was so shocked, because I knew how hard you worked on this case, that you left the police service. Is this why you left it?
I suppose the outcome of that case had a bit of an impact on me psychologically. The justice was never really done for the survivors. And when the opportunity was presented to me to go across the fire, I thought, I'll do that. And which I did for 20 years. And I think this case helped me in some way to have a greater understanding when events like, when I was with CFA, I lost five firefighters at Linton in 1998, showing the compassion and working with their families. And then, of course, the devastating fires of Black Saturday when I was the regional director of the area that was most greatly affected. I suppose it's just a sense of making sure that help people without sounding too corny.
No.
Quite brief.
Yeah.
And I suppose my current role as the CEO at Victoria Police Legacy, helping police families who have lost a loved one, just continues that type of journey that I've been on.
I can sort of see what you're saying about the fire side of things. Seems like there'd be no bullshit at the end of the day, whereas in the police service you can still get mucked around where it feels like you've proven something, it's really clear, and yet someone can still get away with something, whereas in fire you can go in there and help people, and then it's done and there's no middleman and no mucking around. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, in the fire service it was, in my role, I was leading teams of people that were supporting fire brigades and supporting communities. And it was pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
Whereas, when you're in the police force and you've got to dig for evidence and then present it to a court, you've got to be able to present it to a court, and then you're in the hands of those that have to believe the evidence. It's a bit of a different field.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, in both areas, there's people at the end of the issue that need support.
There's always people who need help, and for a person like you who wants to help people, there's always opportunities.
Yeah, I suppose I've always, you know, but in one way, you know, being always single has given me the opportunity to be there when people needed me. I haven't had to think about my own family at home. I suppose that's what I've known ever since I became a copper when I was 18, and I'll continue to do.
I did not know that. I didn't know you. So you don't have a family?
No, I don't have an immediate family. I have brothers and a mother. But I, right throughout my career, I suppose I've just focused on my careers. And, I've never given myself time to have a family.
Oh, Lex, that's incredible. Okay, so that makes even more sense then, that you've been so dedicated and you've been able to get so close to the survivors.
Yeah, and I've worked with some tremendous police members, especially on that the Operation Forest Hamlet Burn case, you know. The first officer in charge, Peter Spence, taught me a lot. I had a great amount of respect for Peter, and he left, and then I was appointed the senior investigator in charge. It's a way of, I suppose, we're all there to help. When you're in a public service, to the public, I've always been brought up that when we leave this earth ourselves, if people can turn around and say, yeah, they made a difference, then you've done the right thing. So it's hard to quantify. It's hard to talk about yourself in that respect. But, yeah.
Well, then talk to me about the victims. Talk to me about the former children, or the survivors, I should say. It's a better word to use.
Yeah, I use the word survivors because they are survivors. And I've got nothing but huge admiration because I know what they went through when they were, you know, since birth, many of them, and the torment and the lies that they went through in their early years as they grew up and in their own years, believing that their mother was Anne Hamilton Byrne and their father was William Hamilton Byrne. And then to find out in 1987 that it was one big lie. You know, they've moved on with their lives, and I've got huge admiration for each and every one of them for what they've achieved, into their adult years. You've lived with these people for so long. And believing that they're your parents, it's hard for a number of them to break that bond, but they did.
Absolutely.
And, when I heard the news yesterday, you know, one of my initial thoughts was I turned to Sarah, who passed away a month before the film was premiered in 2016. And, I kept in contact with Sarah for the years following the case. And she was an amazing individual. I have no doubt that what happened to her was directly due to Anne. And that's why I continue to say that Anne is the most evil person that I'd ever investigated. And yesterday, it was a great day because we got rid of one of Australia's worst criminals ever, and may she rot.
Sarah is a person a lot of us thought of, I think, in that moment. She was one of the children. She grew up and she left the house as a teenager, very vocal always, and she was one of the people who we thought of as a success story because she went on to university. She was an academic. She was a doctor.
She went to India after becoming qualified to help the poor. You know, she had an amazing story, and she formed a great bond with her natural mother, her birth mother, when they reunited after so many years. And, you know, I feel for her mother. I've been in contact with her and expressed my thoughts and strength to her.
Because the trauma really, you know, came back to haunt her.
Many of those that were affected will be affected for the rest of their lives. You know, the children themselves, now adults, you know, they will always live with how they were brought up and what occurred in their life. But, you know, as I said, you know, they've moved on and they've gained great strength from, you know, what happened in many ways. And yet there are still people who believe that Anne is still Jesus Christ reincarnated in the female form. And, you know, I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. Because, you know, they've helped live the myth live. It's just crazy.
Do you think they really do? Because I sort of got the impression from Chris Johnston that the people who were still hanging on were actually hanging on for her to die so they could divvy up the real estate.
I have no doubt that there's a number who are hanging around to give you up the estate. But when I look at people like Michael Stevenson Helmer, who was in the film, he has a true belief that she is the Messiah.
Wow.
You know, and I have no sympathy for him whatsoever or any others that still believe that myth. You know, and that myth will be broken on Monday, 3 days after the death.
I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Well, you know, the fact is I hope Monday night when they go to bed, you know, they have the pain of understanding that they've all been duped since the 60s and 70s, and, you know, I have no sympathy for them at all.
I hope that you go to bed with some peace and release. Are you feeling a release? Are you feeling, I don't want to use the word closure because I know that's dumb, but, you know, are you feeling a level of differentness, Lex?
I'm feeling a level that, you know, part of the final chapter or half of the final chapter has been written with her death, and that's good. I feel a sense of relief, but I also have a sense of despair because I want to make sure that our legal system does not allow that final few paragraphs to be corrupted, and that being a compensation for the victims, the survivors, the former children, who they deserve to have some form of financial recompense from the estate, and that's where everything from the estate should go to. None of the followers, not the trust, but it should be evenly divided between the survivors and the children in recognition that, you know what, society did let them down in the 60s and 70s into the 80s, and this is one small way that we say, you know, we were wrong.
Well, and also because in a very practical sense, they are carrying emotional injuries that need
absolutely
financial support. They have to pay for that support, and there is money there.
Yeah, and you know, I have a personal view that, you know, each one of the survivors, the children, former children, the state should just say, you know what, stuff what the court case says, but here's an ex gratia payment to help you, for us to say, you know, sorry, we allowed this to happen. The institution let you down. The bureaucracy let you down. We allowed this to happen. And this is a small recognition by us that we were wrong. They've done it for others, and they should do it for this group.
I was out and about last night, and the number of strangers who said your name to me last night was really astounding. So I want you to know how many people were thinking of you.
Oh, thank you so much for that. I was unaware of that. Look, I was just a normal copper that got involved, and something had to be done, and it was done. My biggest regret would be that we never were able to slot her or Bill away for years for what they actually did do.
Oh, no, but that can't be your regret, you know, because you didn't. That was not your fault. You did everything you could do. That's other people's regret, and they have to live with it.
Yeah. But to the survivors, of course, I was a representative of the society in many ways.
No.
But,
you're a representative of people who do the right thing and who do care. You have to know that. They must have thought, these are adults, because they were the only adults they knew. And then all of a sudden, you actually represented other kinds of adults. You must have been one of the first people they knew who was good.
Yeah, I suppose you could look at it that way. But I've also learned from them, you know, that geez, the human mind, the human body's got a lot of resilience from what this group went through. I think where they are today, they're survivors, and that's why we as a society, we allow this to happen, and we need to acknowledge that, because that's never happened.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.